שלום ליהודים, שלום לבני נוח, שלום לגויים. It's evening the second day, כף אלף בסיוון, תשן עין ה', פרשה שלח. The evening of the first day, Sunday, 7 June 2015, webcasting from Israel, the Jesus of the nations. As Jesus was a Jew, who in his final moments was believed by Christians to have been the guiltiest human being in the world, he had taken on himself all the sins of mankind. He turned himself into a kind of scapegoat. You know, that word scapegoat was invented by William Tyndale in the 16th century to translate the Hebrew expression Seir Lazazel, the goat on Yom Kippur, chosen by lot to be symbolically laden by the high priest on the Temple Mount with all the sins of the community before being driven into the wilderness and pushed off a cliff to its death. Well, that was Jesus who took upon himself all the sins of mankind. And so in his passion on the cross, along with a 250,000 other Jews crucified here, whose crosses lined the Roman roads like modern-day telephone poles, he relieved everyone else of their guilt. And so we have the spectacle today, here in Israel, of Jews being accused of crimes by the Breaking the Silence group of anti-Jew Israeli Jews, paid by anti-Semitic goyim, mostly in Europe, crimes we allegedly committed in Gaza last summer, which finger-pointing works to relieve the rest of the world of their guilt, and especially the Arabs in Gaza, for their crimes against us, about which Breaking the Silence is perfectly mute. Now, the Prime Minister today, responding to the renewal of rocket fire at us out of Gaza, sneered, and rightly so, in his weekly cabinet meeting's opening statement, that about these rockets, the world is silent. At the same time, in Zurich, the Breaking the Silence slanderers want everybody to boycott Israel for its killing of children in Gaza last summer, which is like Obama denying that Islam bore the guilt of the massacre at Fort Hood when he insisted Islam had nothing to do with that Muslim maniac who murdered, more than a dozen of his fellow soldiers. The Breaking the Silence group met with a White House representative last week as well, and they don't see the guilt for the deaths of these Arab children on the heads of the adults there at all, on those heads of the Hamas bullies who hid behind them. That exhibition in Zurich is an exercise in what magicians, stage entertainers, more accurately, illusionists, call misdirection, getting the audience to look at something to distract them from something else. About the behavior of Hamas, whose killers rose to notoriety for persuading others to go kill themselves in the middle of crowds of Jews, the Hamas that last summer fired from schoolyards behind children, who died in Israel self-defense, the Breaking of the Silence group is silent. 1974, PLO maniacs held almost two dozen Jewish children hostage in a school in Maalot in the Galilee. They stood them up against the windows so that the IDF snipers outside could not shoot at their captors behind them. They were held for like 12 hours of terror, and then when the IDF launched a rescue mission, the terrorists murdered all those Jewish children. And what they're doing now is an attempt to divert the world's attention from the guilt of the Arabs, Israel's mortal enemies. The barbarian, as Sigmund Freud taught, is defined by the absence of guilt. For 14 years, the Arabs in Gaza have launched tens of thousands of rockets into civilian areas in Israel, terrifying above all the little children. They say 75% of the kids in Sderot suffer from PTDS, and here is the Breaking the Silence group running an exhibit in Zurich to display the murder of Arab children by the IDF. Israel's fighting back, as reported last time, and telling the Swiss government that these are unsubstantiated, nameless, anonymous accusations. For all one knows, these 60 testimonies of IDF soldiers were written by one man. This exhibition, which the Swiss government partly funds, is sheer anti-Semitism, right out of the Middle Ages, out of the Spanish Inquisition. It is part of the current anti-Jew jamboree of apartheid weeks on campuses votes by unions to boycott Israel as apartheid South Africa was boycotted. For Zionism is racism. Yeah, the UN Zionism is Racism Resolution of 1975 was annulled in 1991, but that was meaningless. Thus does world anti-Jewry in our time still characterize the resurrection of the Holy Land by the Jewish people as a nationalism that is inherently racist. And never mind, there is no Jewish race. Never mind, we may be the most racially mixed people on earth. The charge, though, is revealing of the black heart of the anti-Jew who just flips out, who cannot tolerate the very existence of the Jewish people because they're cliquish and clannish, and they think they're better than everyone else, and they think they have the right to do anything to non-Jews they want. And I say, Jewish national fellow feeling is no different than any other fellow feeling. Frenchmen are proud to be Frenchmen, and the Brits and the Irish proud to be Brits and Irish, and Americans are proud to be Americans, one national community or another. Most Sundays in Manhattan parades down Fifth Avenue celebrating itself, but for Jews to enjoy being Jews, this drives the anti-Jews crazy. So crazy, they hallucinate crimes we don't commit. Why is patriotism in all other peoples accepted, but when Jews celebrate theirs, they are racists? During the last spasm of hysterical Jew-killing here, the Al-Aqsa Intifada, some two dozen madmen managed to explode themselves in the middle of Little Jerusalem. Israel builds a barrier to defend themselves, and the anti-Jew calls it the racist apartheid wall, because the Jews are racists. That's why they built this wall. This is like Obama, blind to the guilt of Islam at Fort Hood. Last winter, these moon-worshipping savages had a field day chopping off heads, and Obama accused Christians of terrible behavior during the Crusades. An American journalist is beheaded by devotees of his beloved Islam. The president makes an announcement, then goes off to play golf. Presidents Thomas Jefferson and Teddy Roosevelt, who sent the fleet to Morocco when an American citizen was captured. President James Monroe, who sent Stephen Decatur to Algiers. Andy Jackson, none of them would have responded like that. In this interview last week with Ilana Dayan, Obama was as silent as breaking the silence on smearing the Arabs with guilt for the failure of his beloved peace process. It was all Israel's fault. Israel came in for criticism, as if Israel is the obstacle to peace. The ancient ones are just begging for peace, but the Jews won't give it to them. That was his message. The Jews are the guilt bearers. As for this particular episode of this Breaking the Silence group, with its pseudo-indictment of the IDF, which, by the way, for its absence of individual names for individual IDF soldiers allegedly responsible for these crimes, these accusations go global. All IDF soldiers are thus smeared to a degree. As for this latest episode, I think the Israelis should seriously begin to investigate these Israeli citizens in Breaking the Silence under suspicion of having committed high treason. What comes to mind is Lord Haw-Haw, the infamous British subject who spent World War II living in Hamburg, Germany, and broadcasting Nazi propaganda throughout. William Joyce was his name. At war's end, the Brits got their hands on him, put him on trial, found him guilty, and hung the son of a bitch. And here are these Israeli Jews functioning like collaborators of the medieval church, looking to burn someone to the stake for the crime of being a secret Jew, which punishment was also wonderfully profitable for the church. The victim's entire property was confiscated. They burnt him, and if he had a home and left a widow and little children, too, evicted and made homeless. It's not what I want to see happen to anyone here for their treason. I would, though, like to put the fear of that possibility into their minds and hearts. The minds and hearts of these despicable leftists in Breaking the Silence. These malshinim, these slanderers, enough to put a brake on their dastardly anti-Semitic behavior. The big story here last week was the Orange Telecom business, whose CEO last Wednesday said he would pull out of Israel in 24 hours if he could. And then came the explosion here in Israel, the anger, appeals to the French. Then came his retraction and apology. On Friday in Las Vegas, Sheldon Adelson hosted, he and Chaim Siban, convention supporters gathered to fight the BDS villains, and their linking of hands, these two men, one the right-winger, one who set up Matnindik in business, Chaim Siban did, with his own think tank, and what brought them together was the obvious ugliness of the BDS types, which are clearly today's version of anti-Semitic Jews. Finally, Israelis are coming to see through the smokescreen of alleged tears for the ancient ones, see through to the age-old delusional charges made by Jew haters, regardless of the century.
מגנו לכל החוסים שזופת שמש לחוצת פטרוסים מרודי התנובל בתללי רסיסים האל העונה את רצון עמוסים מגנו לכל החוסים שלח רוחך הטוב להחיות גבי מזון לכולם שנתנו תיאטר באב מלכוש ותושלם והשמיים ייתנו תלם רקע מה למלות ברסיסי ברכה לחם לאוכל ומרפא וארוחה היות הוגדת נסוחה ככוכבים בהילה להחיות גבינו לקדמותה תשיר נחלת צביינו ממך טוב לכל יימצא ביריינו הלא אתה תשוב תשוב
Indeed. So there's good news in this bad news, the recrudescence of classical, hallucinatory, baseless hatred of the Jewish people, the awakening of the Jewish people to what's really going on. It's really getting out of hand. On Friday, J-Post wrote up a travel advisory issued by the government in Holland in the matter of Dutch citizens who might be traveling in the West Bank, so-called. They were warned to be on alert, quote, demonstrations and violent incidents occur regularly. Jewish colonists live in illegal West Bank settlements and organize demonstrations on the roads. These colonists are sometimes violent. At times, these colonists throw stones at Palestinians, an international vehicle, so be alert when traveling around settlements of Jewish colonists, especially in the hills around Nablus and Hebron, close quote. My dear. One hears echoes here of the behavior of the Dutch, who were colonists themselves in southern Africa, you know, the Boers, and also in Indonesia. The behavior of European Christian colonists like their forefathers is a matter of record, like the Dutch-speaking Belgians in the Belgian Congo, whose behavior inspired the classic Joseph Conrad novella, Heart of Darkness, which inspired Francis Ford Coppola's movie Apocalypse Now. The Belgians were notorious for their treatment of the natives in the Congo. They carried around machetes, and at the slightest insolence or truculence by a black, they would hack off an arm. They say the Congo was full of thousands of one-armed men. In Apocalypse Now, Akurtz, played by Marlon Brando, relates an episode in which the Viet Cong, objecting to the inoculation in a village by U.S. troops of the locals against diseases, came in later and hacked off the arms, all of those who got the injection. This description by the Dutch government of Jewish colonists who throw stones at Palestinians on the roads is the mind work of someone in a malarial delirium in a century ago. First of all, calling us Jews here colonists, as Jimmy Carter does, is so bizarre, for our lives bear no resemblance to, say, the French in Vietnam with their rubber plantations, or the Dutch in Malaysia. There are no natural resources here that we are mining to ship back to a home country. We are not in a foreign land. We are in Judea, as Jews, and that's where the word comes from. The Palestinians claim to be the indigenous people, but if so, why do they speak Arabic, which is indigenous to the Arabian Peninsula? If anything, they are the colonists, representing the Arab Empire. We are the indigenous people under attack by these Muslim imperialists. But it is we who are seen by Carter and the Dutch government as colonists, strangers in a strange land. In the meantime, we remain the targets of our barbaric neighbors who have fired these, albeit solitary, rockets at us out of Gaza over the last week or so. And even today, I think there was one. The IDF has moved another Iron Dome battery into Ashkelon. And why has this latest attack surfaced? According to the MSM here, in an analysis which exhibits the character of these barbarians, it seems that in Gaza, Hamas is seen by ISIS types as weak and collaborationist for keeping the ceasefire. This is classic behavior in Arabia. Every regime has its rebels who accuse the reigning clique of being lapsed, bad, corrupt Muslims. In a word, Hamas is too conservative for the ISIS devotees in the Strip, who know Israeli policy well. Israel says every rocket fired gets an answer, and since Israel huffs and puffs, it holds Hamas responsible for every rocket. The Air Force attacks some empty Hamas structure and destroys it. In other words, the rockets fired at us these days are meant to get the IDF to attack Hamas. Thus do these ISIS savages involve us in their fratricidal endless fights to the death. So like what's going on in Syria these days, and has been for years. Not only have there been groups firing at the Assad Junior regime, they fight each other. It's like Lebanon during its numerous local gang wars in the 1970s and 80s, between PLO cells fighting one another and PLO cells against local Lebanese Sunnis and PLO cells bullying local Shiites who raise their own armed groups to fight back. As of last week, we were told that such as the invading ISIS Sunnis in Syria are there to conquer Syria and depose Assad, the Alawite. But for the time being, Assad's air force is helping ISIS in fighting in Aleppo against the Shiite rebels. In other words, Assad and his ISIS are collaborating against their common enemy. Though in reading these, I wonder just what is it that they're fighting over in Aleppo, which years ago now was already photographed to be a city in ruins, like Berlin in 1945 or something. They're fighting over, if just not local control of the ruins. Well, situation is sort of like that in Gaza these days. Hamas bullies the Fatah faction, Hamas and Islamic Jihad are targets of ISIS types who see them as old fogies who should be waging jihad against al-Yahud, but they're not, and that shows that they are bad Muslims who deserve to be toppled from power. You know what, if all these different groups and others not mentioned, like Jabhat al-Nusrat and Ansar Beit al-Maqdis, are difficult to keep straight, don't worry about it. Forget their names, which allude to some doctrine. These are just pre-Islamic Arab tribesmen who have been fighting one another like this since time immemorial.
Vani tfilati lecha et ratzon Haim ata shomea koli Shuv ani omed bo arum lefanecha Haim ata zocher mi ani Ze ani hakatan שהנחת בגן מבקש קורא לך שתבוא אליי האדם כי אני זקוק לך בעולם אז אם תשמע קול עמוק עמוק מתוך תוכך תבין שלא עזבתי אותך אם תשמע קול שקט שקט מתוך תוכך תבין שלא עזבתי אותך זה אני אלוהים שיצרתי אותך מבקש קורא לך שתבוא אליי אלוהים כי אני זקוק לך בעולם כי העולם זקוק לך בן אדם
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. And that was adapted from Psalm 69, verse 14. Speaking before of the ever-shifting oddball alliances in Araby, the current chaos and the slaughter everywhere, much attributable to the destroyer in the Oval Office, a.k.a. the Angel of Death, a.k.a. Barack Obama, it is now a matter of the public record that Israel is collaborating with Saudi Arabia, of all countries, and vice versa. Truly a world turned upside down. Last Thursday in Washington at the Council of Foreign Relations, Israel's new Director General of the Foreign Ministry, Dori Gold, met with a former Saudi general, Anwar Eshki, though nowhere in the MSM did I see mention of Dori Gold's book, published 12 years ago, called Hatred's Kingdom, How Saudi Arabia Supports the New Global Terrorism. And here we are today looking in the MSM at a picture of these two men shaking hands. That is what the current situation in the region has come to, thanks mostly to the evil one in the White House who's getting his way. This liar, who has said at least as many times he will not let Iran get an atomic bomb, as he has said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. It has been his goal since his first day in office, when he made his first call as president to the Holocaust denier, an accomplice to many murders. Obama wants to see a nuclear Iran, for only a nuclear Iran can put the fear of Allah into the perfidious Jews. Yesterday, and not for the first time in recent months, a major player here in Israel, in this case the former PM and FM and Chief of Staff, Ehud Barak, warned that they face a potential slaughter, my word, not his, of 4,000 people, his number, if and when Hezbollah in southern Lebanon lets its missiles fly. There have been reports for months of Hezbollah being supplied by Iran with more and better missiles, all now GPS equipped. Barak was trying, I think, to tell the people, get your safety rooms and bomb shelters in working order. Israeli building codes require such safe rooms in all dwellings, and commonly Israelis cannot resist using them as storerooms for all kinds of stuff and junk they should throw out, but don't. We haven't lost that many people since the War of Independence in 1948-49. Of course, given the thriving modern country we have built with 10 times the number of people and who knows how many new structures, the destruction could be frightful. And in the middle of this rising tension and fear of the coming missile barrage from the north, Israel simply cannot prevent that, evidently. On Friday, in the Washington Times, Bill Gertz reported on a secret strategic document called Presidential Study Directive 11, produced in the year 2011, which saw the Muslim Brotherhood as a moderate alternative to more violent Islamic groups. In a nutshell, the strategy was to support the Muslim Brotherhood as the best alternative to those other radical extremists. Well, I for one am not surprised. Obama's behavior at that time was clearly in support of the Brotherhood, in toppling Mubarak and in Libya against Gaddafi. Frank Gaffney of his own think tank has identified key advisors to Obama as Brotherhood linked. Hillary Clinton's gal Friday, Uma something, her whole family is riddled with these Islamists. Gertz also cited Egyptian press reports of CIA and Muslim Brotherhood cooperation after Mubarak was deposed as the head of the Brotherhood, Morsi, was sprung from prison and took over as president. Speaking before of the treasonous slanderers in Israel, they're like soulmates for what Obama and his staffers like Ben Rhodes have been doing to the United States. They are enemies of decades of U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East, those two. As Shimon Peres and Rabin turned Israeli policy of decades upside down when they decided to shake Arafat's bloody paw, which betrayal hounds us to this very day, so Barack Hussein Obama has, like a good Muslim, stabbed the American people in the back, as he has surely stabbed us in the back with his shepherding Iran toward joining the nuclear club. On the other hand, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's withhold any malevolence attributed to him in suspended animation. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and just say he's profoundly stupid and foolish to think the Muslim Brotherhood is a force for moderation. In this case, he's not malevolent, he's just a first-class fool. Okay, that's it for this first night of the week. And I'll be back, God willing, on Tuesday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.